I stand as tall as the willow tree, slendered, arched, and overbearing, exploring everyday people do an amazing thing that makes them stand. I stand with your host, Michael B. Judkins.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to the I Stand Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Judkins. I have a special guest today, Mr. William Hunter, joining us to talk about today's music business and the music industry. Mr. Hunter, William, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How's everything going? How's everybody having a blessed morning?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for joining the I Stand Podcast and joining this new movement. And did I wake you up too early?
No. I'm always up. I'm always ready to go.
Always ready to go. I love
about,
that.
About love the industry, that. You know, that there is no such thing as sleep. You have to be up. You know, because opportunity knocks at any time of the day, so you got to be up and ready.
Solid. So with saying that, you know, you just reminded me of something. So what would you say is your earliest grind to wake up? When do you grind in the first thing in the morning?
My earliest grind is when I wake up, you know, because you got to start, like, as soon as you wake up. There's no way around that because, again, like I said, opportunity knocks at all hours of the day. But grinding in the morning, even if it's just, you know, going for a walk or, you know, jogging, you know, you got to do something, you know, because you got to stay healthy as well. So, you know, but with the music industry, it's a nonstop 24-hour grind, you know. It's hard to even sleep when you are sleeping. You know, you got to work in your sleep, so to speak.
You know, that's so true because, you know, it's sometimes when I sleep or I think I'm about to go to sleep and I have to constantly think about what I'm doing the next day and if it coincides with what I need to do for next week or is it something I didn't finish for the current day that I need to add to the calendar for tomorrow, the next day.
You'd be surprised. When you are in that state of mind, like almost sleep but not sleep, but your brain is still going, a lot of great ideas came up like that, you know, because the brain is relaxed. It's not being rushed. And you're just thinking. It's called like brainstorming, you know. It's like freestyle thinking. That's a lot of things a lot of people don't do. Freestyle thinking is a beautiful thing because you're just sitting there, you know, you're thinking and then some ideas might come to your head and you might have to. That's why I tell people always keep a recorder near them or, you know, keep a pen and paper near you because you never know when you're brainstorming, you know, and you if it sounds good to you and you're a talented person, a lot of times it's probably a good idea, but a lot of people, you know, they discard it or, you know, no, get up, write it down, record it. You know, that's in that frame of mind, I come up with a lot of ideas like that, you know?
That's so true.
Brainstorming is a thing.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% with that. You know, as somebody that writes, you know, I keep a pad or a couple of sheets of paper on me all the time. And when you brainstorm, that's your next idea. Like, so that's so true that you bring up that concept, that kind of mind frame for people to really get into the habit of just writing stuff down or recording yourself. You know, because your next big idea is actually within your mind. It just need a voice to get out. So that's a very good point. So
that's it. You know,
moving right like along, I want to ask you, what's one of the things that you got going on right now? Tell me about how you started in music.
Well, I started out as a reggae artist, you know, and even though I'm, you know, at that time, I'm an American, but I love, you know, the Jamaican culture and the music. I lean towards more of managing artists as opposed to being one. So, I mean, it started early, you know, and we had some success. And, you know, back when I had an artist by the name of, you know, Anaya Velvet. And we did a few shows, won a few awards and things like that. The name of the company is QVT, Quality, Variety, and Talent. You know, we don't have quality, variety, and talent. What you got? You know, that's why I named that company QVT, Quality, Variety, and Talent. Because you need all of that to have a successful career. And right now we have they have a hip hop artist. His name is 20s. You know, he's doing this thing on the underground scene. You know, got a few shows lined up with him. And I also have a group called Absent Angels. It's more of a live band group. So they have a singer. So, and we're getting ready to put them on a little couple of city tour, you know, a couple of places here and there. So, but that's on the, you can check out my Facebook website, you know, William Hunter, you know, Facebook. And to get the show dates and to get their, you know, bios and things like that. But what I wanted to talk about is the industry in itself. It's a lack of work. A lot of these artists, they just want to, from what I see, a lot of these artists, they just want to show up, have someone write for them, have someone do the production for them. And then when their manager's riding around in the Bentley and the guy that wrote the song is riding around in the Bentley, and they're just sitting there like, wait a minute, why am I the one not getting paid? It's because, as with any job, you got to work. You know? And that's really, you know, that's why only a handful of artists today actually survive off the music industry. And that's something I would want to tell to all artists out there that are listening. You know, as with any job, the more you put in is the more you get out of it. You know, if you just, like I said, you show up to the studio and I'm going to sing this person's lyrics, I'm going to sing over this person's production, and I'm going to give this guy 20% for managing, I'm going to give this one 20% for this and this and this and this. And then at the end of the day, when you look at your bank account, it's like, yes, your name is huge and you have a great hit, but you're still pulling up in the Hyundai. That's because lack of work ethics. And a lot of artists need to understand that. You know, I had this one artist, it was insane because he was in the industry for, he says, 15 years. Another thing is you got to do your homework. You got to know how to copyright your music, protect yourself. This guy was, he said 15 years, and he didn't even know what ASCAP was. And he said he had previous management. So I'm just looking at him like, okay, things that need to be done before anything is you got to copyright your material. And you have to work. You have to actually write it too. You know, so don't want to get too far all of a sudden, but working as with any job, you have to, what you put in, that's what you get out of it. So that all of the artists out there, write, work. You have to write. You have to work. Learn the board. Learn how to make beats. Learn how to compose a song. Learn how to, you know, write a chorus, because that's where your money is.
So okay. Let me piggyback on something, William, because you made me think, and I know you and I have a very long, extensive relationship, and we know a lot of, you know, how to move in this, and probably going to be working on a couple of projects in the future. And it's when you say work ethic. Now, you know me, I'm going to examine this a little bit. Now, when you say work ethic for an artist, whether it be an independent artist, indie artist, whatever the terminology you want to use, do it yourself. That's the new phase everybody's going with nowadays, right? Do it yourself.
Right. Artist. Because I mean, you know.
So when you say work ethic, is it not more the sense of understanding what their business or their brand is in today's music industry? Because when I hear work ethic could be, like you said earlier during the interview, you wake up, you grind early, you know, grind whatever grinding means to you, whether you go into a job, you're starting a business, you're taking care of family, you know, whatever you're doing, that you start your day early, right? But then if you say work ethic, is it more the sense of to where artists, some artists, not all, I wouldn't say all, because I ran across a lot of artists, especially out here in the Lehigh Valley area, that are well informed of do-it-yourself practices and best practices? And is it more the sense that they don't want to take the time out to learn about marketing, promotion, as well as signing particular contracts, understanding percentages, understanding, you know, what it is that makes music business, so to say, a business?
I mean, well, the information highway, you know, you can, I can almost guarantee you, you can Google any single thing. That's the internet. Let me tap on the internet. The internet has not only destroyed, it's helped the industry, and it's also destroyed the industry. Because right now, let's just say I don't know how much percentage to give a business manager. You can actually go to Google and say, hey, Google, how much should I give the average business manager in the music industry? And you say it just like that. And I can almost guarantee you something will pop up that will give you some kind of leeway. But to answer your question, it's called lazy. A lot of people, they want it. They want it. And sometimes they lay in their bed and say, damn. Or they're walking somewhere and say, damn. Or they listen to a song or see a video and say, damn. Why am I not there? You got to work. You have to work. And another thing is, Mr. Juggins, another thing is the industry is not for everybody. That's another thing. You know, that a lot of people don't understand the reality of it. That's the reality of the industry as well. It's not for everybody. And it's only, a handful of artists that are actually can pay their rent, can pay their for the big house, can pay for the big car. A lot of these artists aren't who you think they are. If you've seen them in person, you'll be like, damn, I thought you were a gazillionaire. But like you said, if they don't know the business and they don't know, you know, like percentages and marketing and how much you charge this one and how much you pay for this, then that's at the end of the day, again, their record is everywhere, and there's so much to this industry, you know? But there is a lot of information out there that you can just Google. Google could be your friend. Google could be your best friend. But I would advise every artist to at least know the business aspect of the industry, because this is not fun and games. This is the real deal. You don't want to waste 10 years of your life. Let's just say your passion wasn't painting or another profession, but you do love the industry. You don't want to spend 10 years, 20 years of your life going hard at something that's, you know, not for you, not written in the stars for you. You know, but that goes with information. That goes with information. Information is very important in this industry. But again, back to what you were saying, as far as the work ethic, you have to get up in the morning. You got to, I mean, you're, cool.
Storm, a glass of water, or Mr. Hunter, a water.
I understand.
Water.
I'm very sorry. But like I said, all you need is a smartphone and Wi-Fi. You don't even have to have a company, like a phone company. All you need is Wi-Fi. And you can get to Google and find out what's going on. You know, there's no, right now, this day for, in this day and age, I talk to artists and they say, well, I didn't know about this. I didn't know about that. I didn't know about this. I don't know what that is. What's that? What? And these are basic things that you should know from first getting in the industry. And therein lies a lot of problems with these artists. And, you know, you got it's like with any job, it's a lot of work. Yes, you got to write. Yes, you got to learn how to do this. Yes, you got to know, again, the percentage you give to an artist, a management, as far as where the label eats at. Because these days, being at the internet, then as soon as you put a song out, you can download it for free on any numerous apps. This is where, as far as the artist, you have to protect at least you can get your publishing and your production.
Let's segue right into this, William, because you touched on something that I had listed here in a conversation I wanted to talk to you about, because when you talked about streaming, now when you downloads, right? The people piracy with music.
When you download stuff.
Now,
yeah.
With the new media music, or whatever you want to call it, the Spotify's and the Apple Music and the Tidals and all these streaming platforms, the Shazams, all these streaming platforms, which is a great tool to kind of get your music out in a faster way with no real profit unless you're breaking the 10 million streams to probably get a check.
Yeah,
for $200.
I mean, you gotta, wow, you really gotta, you really gotta push units.
You gotta
to
really
get money
push,
like that.
Really push it. Do you think that's a platform that artists, you know, should take advantage of or shouldn't take advantage of when they upload their music, you know, to the third party distributors?
I mean, Michael, in this day and age, the way it's set up, you know, I always tell my artists, you know, again, the more work you put in, the more you get out of it. As far as the internet, you know, whatever you can get from the internet, as far as money wise, you know, be completely blessed that you did get some money off of there. Because again, there's only a handful of artists that are really, again, making good money off internet sales. That's why you see so many artists at one time, like, there's this tour going on. With it's DMX, it's all these old rappers from back in the days. Now, the reason why you didn't hear from a lot of these rappers is because they were getting their money off their residuals. You know what I'm saying? But with the invention of the internet, a lot of those people don't have to pay for that no more. So now that's why you see a lot of these artists. I'm sure you've probably seen a lot of these artists are coming out of, I'll say, retirement, because they got to do a lot of shows now. You know, because these, I mean, the other day I asked a kid, I forgot what artist, I think it was like Busta Rhymes, and he was like, who's that? That's a problem.
He said, who was Busta Rhymes?
Yeah. I said, what? I said, are you serious? And he was like, who's Busta Rhymes? I said, wow. But see, that right there lets you know that, you know, that's why a lot of these artists, they're selling their houses because the residuals aren't coming in no more. You know, it's hard. But the ones that can maintain what they've paid for throughout the years is because they do, you know, they did write their stuff. They did this. They did, you know, they were smart with their money.
Well, would you think it's just smart with the money, or would you think it's more the sense that they learned how to develop a brand in music? Because music is just one particular platform.
Well, I mean, no. Everything as far as the money is, you have to be smart with your money. There's no way. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But if you're not smart with your money, I mean, you might, you know, if you're going to the club and, all right, I got $200,000 in the bank, and it's okay if I drop $10,000 in one night in the club, you're an idiot. That makes no sense to me, you know, because all of those people that you're making the rain on, when you get, you know, when the money dries up, I can almost guarantee you won't hear from them no more. And then a lot of people don't understand, they don't think about their lives, and I say 10-year entities. If you're a person that's blessed, let's just say this one year, to get $3-4 million, you know, $10 million, you got to start thinking, okay, 10 years from now, because the cost of living everywhere is high. You know, that's another thing with the music industry. People lose touch of reality. Once they get in it and the money's flowing in, yeah, go ahead, buy that Bentley. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll buy you a car. I'll buy you a house. And then at the end of the day, when the IRS come knocking and the music dries up, because nobody's career lasts forever. That's first and foremost. If you're blessed to get your hand on substantial monies, you know, just take care of it, you know. You're going to, again, I mean, it's a cliche, but it's true. You're going to have cousins that come out of the woodwork. Hey, Michael, remember me? I'm cousin, what's his name, son? Who? I don't even have a cousin by that name.
And you know majority of my family, so.
I mean, you have a lot. I know you have a lot of family, so you would really have to watch out. Because you got a lot of family. So I would just, you know, just take care of Brian. Shout out to my son, Brian. Love you to death.
So, you know, well, William, let me interject you for 1 second, because I still want to go around this question of the business and the money. You gave an example of if an artist, whether they're start off young, making money in the industry or this new industry, so to say, and they start off with $3-4 million. you know, I think with that comes with education. That's the whole purpose of, you know, me developing this podcast series called I Stand. It's just about educating and being a light to somebody else. And if you have somebody that got a payday of $3 or $4 million, let's break that down, because actually they're not really walking away with $3 or $4 million. Now,
well, that's what I mean by after. Now, all right, let me restate it. What I mean by you're blessed, that's after, if you after you have to pay management all of the the people in the industry, you know, after paying them, you know, if you walk away with that kind of money, then you're blessed. You're extremely blessed. But then that's where the work ethic comes in. Because I'm not going to lie to you, in this day and age, to walk away with that kind of money, that means you know, the artist that I use for the females is Missy Elliott or Alicia Keys. For the males, it's like, I want to say Babyface and R. Kelly, but a lot of these young kids, you say Babyface, they wouldn't even know who that was. But see, that's the person, that's a worker. That's why he's longevity money. R. Kelly, longevity, because everything they touch, it says written, produced, arranged, directed, everything. That's an all-around artist. It's not hard to do. But if you put in the work, you'll achieve it. And believe me, you'll get so much more out of it. You'll wake up like, wow, look at this. I never would have thought. Like, Louise Keys, you remember when she had Cujo Keys, and her first check was like $900,000. And she was like, wow. But she had all of that work that she put in. When she was with Columbia and they shelved her. And then, you know, Clive left Arista and brought her. Look at that. All of that work she put in, she was thinking, oh, this is just a waste of time. Well, what did I do? Come to find out, she went 10 million, she sold 10 million copies. And to this day, one of the hottest artists in the industry. Because she put in all of that work, and it was doing something that she loved. That's why it came so easy to her. That's why if you're a true artist, it should just come right to you. There's no way around that. But the work you put in, it's like an extra job. If you go to work every day, you know, you go on time every day, and you do that for, let's say, 10, 12 years, you look up, you're probably running the company now. You're probably the one in charge. Same thing with the industry. You do 5, 10 years of just, you know, writing, producing, doing shows, and all of that work. You look up 10 years now, you're the hottest artist in the industry. You got the biggest house in Malibu. You're like, wow, look at this. That's another thing about the industry. You got to work so hard that you're not even worried about, all you're worried about is a bite to eat, washing your butt, washing your booty, and working. So, another artist that's like that is Jay-Z.
Yes, I was just about, you know, it's funny that you just said that. I was just about to reference the mogul.
Another one.
Business
I mean,
mogul,
but
that started from music. And it goes back to where I originally asked William when I talked about, do you start to educate artists on, of course, the delivery of music and understanding what music is and creating and starting from music, but also learning, teaching them or showing them that you can brand yourself outside of music, because you can go into film, you could go into advertising, you could go into other businesses, startup businesses, radio, and kind of develop your platform more to kind of continuously build your brand. Music can have a short life. So if you're not doing anything else, then that short life becomes shorter and your name or your promotion of your name becomes shorter. So you always want to constantly think of it as, if you're going in today's music or in any business, you want to kind of think about it more in a sense of as a business person, not just as a creative.
No, see, my two artists, that's another thing about being a business. If you're going to be a true business, if you're going to manage, you're going to be a business manager and manage someone's business, manage them correctly. I tell my artists, that's the first thing I tell an artist. Before we even start talking, what are you going to do after the industry? I'm not going to even start with the industry yet. What are you going to do after? What are your dreams after the industry? You know how many artists be like, huh? What do you mean? What are you going to do when the lights go out? When there's no more cheering, there's no more nothing. Where are you going to be? Huh? Listen, and that's when, if I'm going to sign you to my management, I'm going to school you. Or at least try to point you in the right direction. Because, no, I'm not a millionaire, but I think I have a good grasp on if I did get my hand on substantial money, where would it go? Where would I put it? You know, and that's as far as the industry, too. You got a lot of business managers that just, they're looking to get paid, and they're looking at the hell with the artists. That's not what we do at QVT, you know? I want to, with all my teachings, I want to nurture a talent. I want to make sure after that, after the lights go out, that you still have some place to live, somewhere to go, and a business where you can get substantial monies, even when the industry is over. Because you can, you know, that one hit wonder, that's a reality. You know, you got a lot of artists, we both know that. We got a lot of artists out here that their single was all over the world. There's a group called Cherish. Remember that song that, do it. Uh-huh. You don't hear from them no more. And that song was all over the globe. And the next day, they were gone. So you have to, you know, it all goes, again, who's around you? Who's in your camp? Who you allow in? And when you're talking about business management, you really have to know who this person is. You know, a lot of times, young artists, they don't listen. They don't know how to sit down and listen to a person. They just, okay, let's go. No. You know, I understand it's a business, but you got to have some kind of personal relationship if you're going to be letting this person manage your business. So there's nothing wrong with asking a few questions. You know, but, you know, a lot of people are just eager to get on, and they don't want to, you know, ask the questions and do the homework, you know. But that all goes into just working. Don't be lazy.
Don't be lazy. You know, you and I have many conversations, and I learn from you, and we learn from each other in this path that we're on. And it's so funny because when you say learn, know the business, or don't be so kind of letting the artist don't rush into certain situations. Like, and you know, lately I've been talking to you about, you know, I have a couple of artists that want me to do the management, and it's not so sense of just already signing the artist. It's about building them, you know, and having them understand that, listen, a paper can just be a paper, and I can be contractually obligated, or you can be contractually obligated to pay me as a vendor, or, you know, as a fee for service. But if we're going to get, knowing, being the person that I am, if I'm going to get into bets or into business with you, so since I want to make sure that we're both making it to where we can be comfortable with each other, and that we can be able to build something together that is going to line our pockets, so to say, create content into the world, you know. And I think it does take time to constantly, you should build that relationship before signing anything with anybody.
I agree with that.
You know, and I think you should build it for that way. You can at least establish some level of trust. And that way, the relationship or the marriage, the business marriage that you're going to, will be a little bit more productive, because you guys kind of have a level of trust with each other to where one person's decisions is not going to always take centerpiece over the others. It's a collaborative effort.
And also the fact that you're trusting this person to make decisions when you're not there. So you have to know this person. This person has to know you. Like, as far as me and you, I've known you 20-something years. Yeah. I know if, let's say, I was your business manager. I know, okay, Michael wouldn't want that. That's not going to work for him. No, that's not going to work for him, because I know you. You know, if you don't know me, how are you going to make my, I'm going to trust in you to make a financial decision for me, and I don't know who you are. Because not every time the artist is going to be sitting there in the business meeting, because you have to be out there working. So you got to entrust in the person to make sure he or she is making deals for you that make sense for you 10 years from now, 5 years from now. That's what goes into, you have to build a relationship. Key people, your lawyer, definitely him or her, and your business manager. As far as anybody else, that's personal. You know, but with them, with the lawyers and the business management, anything to do with making decisions financially for you, you have to know who and what that person is. Invite them over for lunch. Go out to lunch. Who gives it? You know? But understand that that person, when you sign that dotted line, you're saying, this person has the right to negotiate for me without me being there. That can be a very scary situation.
Yes, I agree.
There's so many artists have failed because of that. Look at a perfect example is Ja Rule.
Wow.
He, remember when he said it, when he had this interview, he said, you know, I just entrusted the people to take care of me, to take care of my finance, and didn't know who the hell they were. But he was responsible for so much stuff. And he was like, I didn't even buy this. I didn't even tell him to do this. But you did tell that person to do that when you signed that paperwork.
That is true.
You know, just because a person, you know, has a big office and a couple of records on the wall, that's nice. I love that. That's beautiful. But you're a business manager. You didn't do that work. So let me get to know you. Do you think anybody can go to an auction and buy a couple of platinum records and put it on the wall and say, hey, I'm a smart guy. Get out of here. You need a little more than that. I need to know you. Let's talk. You know. If you go to a business manager's office and they already got the contract there for you, it's like, okay, wait a minute. Like, Jesus Christ. I don't even know you, but you already ready to sign. Yes. Like I said, you got to just be careful with who you put in charge of your affairs financially. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. You know, the talent and everything is one thing, but if you can't sustain, you know, housing and rent and food and all of this stuff, then what you got? It's hard to think on an empty stomach. Believe me, I've been there. So again, you have to take care of your money, and that goes with knowing who's in charge of the decision making with your money. You know. So.
Great point, man. Before we wrap up here, I mean, great insight, and you know. I'm definitely going to invite you back. I mean, I would love to have you back on to finish this conversation. But where can we find, talk to me about any new projects. Tell me about a little bit QVT. Plug what you got going on right now before we wrap this up.
Well, okay, right now, it's called the Art of Rap Tour. And one of the, his name is Dave. He's one of the program directors for that particular tour. And on top of them having already artists that sold music and been in the industry for a long time, they're also looking for fresh new talent. And I reached out to him via Facebook, and I gave him the link to my artist, my new 20s. And he basically inboxed me back. That's the kind of talent that he's looking for with regards to this Art of Rap Tour. So right now we're in negotiations with that particular tour with my artist to see if we can get him on that tour. So it's called the Art of Rap. You can actually Google it, because it's everywhere. So it's a big thing. And it's coming to the East Coast very shortly. And hopefully, you know, when he gets over to this side of the country or this side of the world, you know, we can negotiate that deal. So we're definitely crossing our fingers with that. But, that's the main focal right there, trying to get them on that tour. But that's, you know, among other things, but that's the most, you know, that's the biggest project But it's, you know, it's blessings that he even caught, because I'm sure that this particular guy gets a lot of projects over his table via SoundCloud or CDs or whatever. So for him to hit me back, that was a blessing.
Great, great, great. Well, we'll definitely keep you posted. And when, you know, I'll definitely, you know, link out and shout out everything that you do. And you know, William Hunter, you know, thank you for taking the time and educating us on the reasons why you stand. You know, sometimes being a light to someone else makes you stand as tall as the willow tree. You know, I'm your host, Michael B. Jenkins. Till next time, brother man, Mr. William Hunter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hosted by Podomatic, I Stand is available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and YouTube. Like us, review us, rate us, and share us. Show your support by pledging on Patreon at patreon.com/AOS21 or buy an ad through advertisecast.com, a production of AOS21 Podcast Network and Act 14 Publishing.
Copyright 2017, AOS21 Publishing, LLC.
All rights reserved.
AOS21 Publishing. What do you want your book to be?